Today is the auspicious occasion of Srimad Avendra-Puri's disappearance day. Avendra-Puri was the grand spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Avendra-Puri's disciple, Ishwara-Puri, was accepted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his spiritual master. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He himself is the origin of all knowledge, of Vedic knowledge. And he had no need to accept a spiritual master. But because he was playing the part of a devotee and to set the example for others, he accepted the spiritual master. And he specifically accepted Ishwara-Puri because he came in the line of Madhavendra-Puri. Because Madhavendra-Puri was the first in recent history to show love of Godhead in separation, specifically in the Buddha. The gopis who felt separation from Krishna after he left Vrindavan. So Madhavendra-Puri is the most important person in the history of our disciplic succession. In the history of the world. So we shall read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela, Chapter 8. Ramachandra-Puri criticizes the Lord. Ramachandra-Puri was a disciple of Madhavendra-Puri, god brother of Ishwara-Puri. But he developed an offensive mentality towards his spiritual master, Madhavendra-Puri. And as a result, he became so fallen that he dared to criticize Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela, Chapter 8. Ramachandra-Puri criticizes the Lord. The following summary of the 8th chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya. This chapter describes the history of the Lord's dealings with Ramachandra-Puri. Although Ramachandra-Puri was one of the disciples of Madhavendra-Puri, he was influenced by dry Mayavadis, and therefore he criticized Madhavendra-Puri. Therefore, Madhavendra-Puri accused him of being an offender and rejected him. Because Ramachandra-Puri had been rejected by his spiritual master, he became concerned only with finding faults in others and advising them according to dry Mayavada philosophy. For this reason, he was not very respectful to the Vaishnavas. And later he became so fallen that he began criticizing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his eating. Hearing his criticisms, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reduced his eating. But after Ramachandra Puri left Jagannath Puri, the Lord resumed his usual behavior. Text 1. Tam Vande Krishna Chaitanyam Ramachandra Puri Bayat Lokika Harata Swamyo Bhikshanam Samako Chayat. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who reduced his eating due to fear of the criticism of Ramachandra Puri. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Karuna Sindhu Avatar Brahma Shivadika Bhaje Charanya Hara. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the incarnation of the ocean of mercy. His lotus feet are worshipped by demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Jaya Jaya Abhaduta Chandra Nityananda Jagat Banda Nilayaya Diya Prema Banda. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu, the greatest of mendicants, who bound the entire world with a net of ecstatic love for God. Jaya Jaya Dvaita Ishwara Avatara Krishna Avatari Kaila Jagat Nistatara. All glories to Advaita Prabhu, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He induced Krishna to descend and thus delivered the entire world. Jaya Jaya Srivasadi Atta Bhakta Gana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Yana Pranadana. All glories to all the devotees, headed by Srivas Thakur. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is their life and soul. E Mata Gora Chandra Nija Bhakta Sange Nila Chale Krida Kare Krishna Prema Tarange. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri performed his various pastimes with his own devotees in the waves of love for Krishna. The next verses describe Ramachandra Puri's arrival in Jagannath Puri. He came specifically to meet Paramananda Puri and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he had the policy of inviting Vaishnavas and feeding them prasad, and by various means inducing them to eat more and more, and then he would criticize them for eating so much prasad. So, after that introduction, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells the history of Ramachandra Puri, which contains the story of the disappearance of Sri Madhavendra Puri. Text 18. Purveyabe Madhavendra Karena Antardana Ramachandra Puritabe Ailatana Stana. Formerly, when Madhavendra Puri was in the last stage of his life, Ramachandra Puri came to where he was staying. Puri Gosane Krishna Nama Sankirtana Mathura Napainu Bali Karine Karandana. Madhavendra Puri was chanting the holy name of Krishna. And sometimes he would cry, "Oh my Lord, I did not get shelter at Mathura." Ramachandra Puritabe Upadeshe Tanre Shishyana Guru Ke Kahe Bayanahi Kare. Then Ramachandra Puri was so foolish that he fearlessly dared to instruct his spiritual master. Tumi Purna Brahmananda Karaha Smarana Brahmavid Hanakena Karaha Rodana. Translation: if you are full in transcendental bliss, he said, you should now remember only Brahman. Why are you crying? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmabhuta Prasanatma, a Brahman realized person is always happy. Nasochati nakamushati. He neither laments nor aspires for anything. Not knowing why Madhavendra Puri was crying, Ramachandra Puri tried to become his advisor. Thus he committed a great offense, for a disciple should never try to instruct his spiritual master. There are many negative statements in the scriptures, such as the one we just read from the Bhagavad Gita, Nasochati Nakamshati. One who is on the Brahman platform neither hankers nor laments. There are similar negative statements in relation to the Lord himself in the Upanishads, to the effect that the Lord has no name, he has no form, he has no hands, he has no legs. And Srila Prabhupada explains that such negative statements mean that the Lord has no material hands or legs, but he has spiritual hands and legs. Similarly, such instructions as nasochati nakamshati, one should not hanker or lament, mean that one should not hanker materially for material things or lament materially for material objects. But here, Madhavendra Puri was on the highest platform of love of God. He was feeling separation from Krishna, and he was hankering to attain the service of Krishna and lamenting because he felt that he was unable to do so. But Ramachandra Puri, because he was influenced by impersonal philosophy, he could only understand the negative statements that apply to material name and form, and to material hankering and lamentation. He could not understand that his spiritual master was feeling separation from Krishna on the transcendental platform. And he was so audacious that he dared to advise his spiritual master, which was his downfall. Text 22. Shuni Madhavendra Mane Krodha Upajila Dura Dura Papishta Bali Bartsana Karila. Hearing this instruction, Madhavendra Puri, greatly angry, rebuked him by saying, "Get out, you sinful rascal." Purport. Ramachandra Puri could not understand that his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, was feeling transcendental separation His lamentation was not material. Rather, it proceeded from the highest stage of ecstatic love of Krishna. When he was crying in separation, "I could not achieve Krishna. I could not reach Mathura." This was not ordinary material lamentation. Ramachandra Puri was not sufficiently expert to understand the feelings of Madhavendra Puri. But nevertheless, he thought himself very advanced. Therefore, regarding Madhavendra Puri's expression as ordinary material lamentation, he advised him to remember Brahman because he was latently an impersonalist. Madhavendra Puri understood Ramachandra Puri's position as a great fool and therefore immediately rebuked him. Such a reprimand from the spiritual master is certainly for the betterment of the disciple. So, it is mentioned here, Shuni Madhavendra Mane Krodha Upajila, that when Madhavendra Puri heard the words of Ramachandra Puri, anger, Krodha, arose. Krodha is another one of the no-nos on the material platform. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madha, Matsarya, these are considered enemies of the conditioned soul. These are considered the gateways to hell for the conditioned soul. Kama, Esha, Krodha, Esha, Raja, Guna, Samud, Bhavaha. Lust and anger are products of the mode of passion. And they lead one to degradation. But here, Krodha Upajila, anger arose within Madhavendra Puri. But it was not ordinary material anger. It was transcendental anger. Material anger arises when one's lust is frustrated. In fact, anger, there's a Sanskrit word for anger which means the younger brother of lust. Kamanuja. Because wherever the older brother goes, the younger brother follows. So wherever there's lust, anger follows. So when our material desires are frustrated, we become angry. But in the spiritual realm, when there is an impediment to devotional service, one may become angry, not in a material way, but in a spiritual way. And the anger is used to remove the obstacle to devotional service. Of course, from one point of view, we could say that Ramachandra Puri's presence was an obstacle to Madhavendra Puri's meditation on Krishna. So he wanted him away. But on another level, Madhavendra Puri's pride and tendency toward impersonalism were an obstacle in Ramachandra Puri's own spiritual advancement, and therefore his spiritual master rebuked him. And as Srila Prabhupada notes, such a reprimand from the spiritual master is certainly for the benefit of the disciple. So we should be careful. There's a verse that's Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Navigaya. That no one can understand the activities of a Vaishnava, transcendental Vaishnava. Therefore we should be careful. Text 23. Krishna na painu na painu mathura apana duke maron aditi ayodhvara. Translation. O my Lord Krishna, I could not reach you, nor could I reach your abode, Mathura. I'm dying in my unhappiness. And now this rascal has come to give me more pain. Moramukha na dekhabi tuya yati tati tore deke maila mora abe asad gati. Don't show your face to me. Go anywhere else you like. If I die seeing your face, I shall not achieve the destination of my life. Krishna na painu muni maran apanara duke more brahma upadeshe echara murke. I'm dying without achieving the shelter of Krishna, and therefore I am greatly unhappy. Now this condemned foolish rascal has come to instruct me about Brahman. Generally, a spiritual master does not reject a disciple. But yeyatam mam prapadyante, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, as people approach him, he reciprocates. Of course, the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. Indirectly, Ramachandra Puri had rejected Madhavendra Puri as a spiritual master, because how can you advise your spiritual master in such a way? Of course, sometimes even Krishna consults. In Mathura and Dwarka, he consulted Uddhava. And Uddhava would give him advice in the mood of service. But here, Ramachandra Puri was not offering advice in the mood of service, in the mood of humble service, but he was proud and thought that he was actually superior in knowledge, in spiritual knowledge, to a spiritual master. Therefore he dared to advise his spiritual master in the matter of Krishna consciousness. So, in effect, he had already rejected him as a spiritual master. He thought that he was more advanced, that he was on the Brahman platform, and that his spiritual master wasn't. So he was instructing his spiritual master to be fixed in Brahman. Srila Prabhupada also almost never rejected a disciple. But there was a case that came to mind reading this. Prabhupada had a disciple named Aravinda, who was Prabhupada's personal servant. This is another instruction, that if one gets too close to the spiritual master without having this sufficient purity, one can commit offenses. So Aravinda was Srila Prabhupada's personal servant, and eventually he left. And then after some time, he I guess, met a devotee, and the devotee told him that Srila Prabhupada was in town, so I believe it was in California, and he said, you should come and see Srila Prabhupada. So Aravinda came, and he told Srila Prabhupada that something to the effect that, you know, Krishna consciousness never worked for me. So I left. He was indirectly criticizing Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, good. I'm glad you left. Because now I don't have to look at your morose face anymore. So, reading this line, don't show your face to me, go anywhere else you like. If I die seeing your face, I shall not achieve the destination of my life. It reminded me of Srila Prabhupada's words. But it's sort of like, tit for tat. I mean, Prabhupada was like that. He would call the scientists and others, you know, fools and rascals, because in their own way, that's what they're calling the devotees. In their own way, they're calling the devotees fools and rascals. So Prabhupada called them fools and rascals. So, you know, Aravinda was sort of saying, I didn't really like Krishna consciousness. That's what he was saying. He tried it for so many years, and he felt he didn't really get much. In effect, he was saying, I didn't really like Krishna consciousness. But he was saying, oh good, I'm glad you're going. We didn't really like having you around. You know, I didn't like being around you. And Prabhupada said, well good, I'm glad you're going, because we didn't like having you around. But ultimately, both the blessings and the curses of a Vaishnava are beneficial. We find in the case of Narada Muni and the two sons of Kuvera, Munigriva and Navakuvara, that they were so intoxicated with their material opulence and with material enjoyment, that when Narada came upon them, when they were naked and joined with women in a heavenly lake, that they felt no shame, and they showed no respect to Narada Muni, who was their spiritual master of the demigods. So Narada Muni cursed them to take birth as trees, because trees like to be naked. Trees stand naked and they think themselves very beautiful. So Krishna fulfills all desires. Okay, he wanted to be naked. Expose your beauty to the world. Okay, take birth as a tree. Stand naked for 100 years. Show off your beauty. But in the end, in Krishna's childhood pastimes, Damodar Lila, he took the grinding mortar between the two trees and uprooted the trees, and the two demigods came out and offered prayers. But this case of Ramachandra Puri is quite unfortunate, as we will read, at least initially unfortunate. Text 26. Eye Shri Madhavendra Shri Padu Peksha Karila Se Aparade Inhara Vasana Janmila. Ramachandra Puri was thus denounced by Madhavendra Puri. Due to his offense, Gradually, material desire appeared within him. Purport. The word vasana, material desires, refers to dry speculative knowledge. Such speculative knowledge is only material. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.4, a person without devotional service who simply wants to know things, kevala bodha labhyate, gains only dry speculative knowledge but no spiritual profit. This is also confirmed in the Bhakti Sandarbha 1.11, wherein it is said, Jivan mukta api purnar yanti samsara vasanam yajya chinta mahashaktu bhagavat aparadina. Even though one is liberated in this life, if one offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down in the midst of material desires, of which dry speculation about spiritual realization is one. In his Lagutoshani commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 10.232, Jiva Goswami says, Jivan mukta api purnar bandhanam yanti karma bi yadya chintya mahashakto bhagavatya paradinaha. Even if one is liberated in this life, he becomes addicted to material desires because of offenses to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A similar quotation from one of the Puranas also appears in the Vishnu Bhakti Chandrodaya. Jivan mukta prapadyante kvachit samsaravasanam yogino na vilipyante karma bir bhagavat para. Even liberated souls sometimes fall down to material desires. But those who fully engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not affected by such desires. These are references to authoritative revealed scriptures. If one becomes an offender to his spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down to the material platform to merely speculate. So one of the effects of offenses is that one becomes influenced by material desires, and sometimes is overwhelmed by them. And to justify one's sinful activities, one speculates and imagines so many excuses. Or one just develops an impersonal attitude. And one of the effects of committing offenses is that one develops the tendency to commit more offenses. And that is explained in the next verse, 27. Shuksha brahma jnani nahi krishnera sambandha sarvaloka nindakare nindate nirbandha. One who is attached to dry speculative knowledge has no relationship with Krishna. His occupation is criticizing Vaishnavas. Thus he is situated in criticism. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained in his Anubhasya that the word nirbandha indicates that Ramachandra Puri had a steady desire to criticize others. Impersonalist Mayavadis who have no relationship with Krishna, who cannot take to devotional service and who simply engage in material arguments to understand Brahman, Regard devotional service to Krishna as karma kanda, or fruitive activities. According to them, devotional service to Krishna is but another means for attaining dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Therefore, they criticize the devotees for engaging in material activities. They think the devotional service is maya, and that Krishna or Vishnu is also maya. Therefore, they are called mayavadis. Such a mentality awakens a person who is an offender to Krishna and his devotees. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated emphatically, mayavadi Krishna aparadi, that the mayavadis are the greatest offenders to Krishna. And here we gain the insight that their becoming mayavadis is a result of offending Krishna. They commit offenses, and because of their offenses they become impersonalist mayavadis, and as mayavadis they commit more offenses, and thus they continue their degradation. Now, we find the other example of the good disciple. Text 28. Ishwara Puri Gosani Kare Sripada Sevana Svahaste Karena Mala Muchadi Marjana. Ishwara Puri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, performed service to Madhavendra Puri, cleaning up his stool and urine with his own hand. Ishwara Puri was always chanting the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna for Madhavendra Puri to hear. In this way, he helped Madhavendra Puri remember the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna at the time of death. Pleased with Ishwara Puri, Madhavendra Puri embraced him and gave him the benediction that he would be a great devotee and lover of Krishna. Thus, Ishwara Puri became like an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna, whereas Ramachandra Puri became a dry speculator and a critic of everyone else. Ishwara Puri received the blessings of Madhavendra Puri, whereas Ramachandra Puri received a rebuke from him. Therefore, these two persons, Ishwara Puri and Ramachandra Puri, are examples of the objects of a great personality's benediction and punishment. Madhavendra Puri instructed the entire world by presenting these two examples. So, it is stated that the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee are very powerful. But it is also said that the same dust that elevates a person to the highest level of Krishna consciousness, to the spiritual realm of Vrindavan, the same dust can also push a person down to hell if one offends the dust. This principle was enunciated by Sati to her father Daksha after Daksha offended Shiva, Vaishnava Namyata Shambhu, the greatest Vaishnava. And the purport is very relevant to the present discussion. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 4, Sati quits her body. Sati says in text 14, "My dear father, you are committing the greatest offense text 13. It is not wonderful for persons who have accepted the transient material body as the self to engage always in deriding great souls. Such envy on the part of materialistic persons is very good because that is the way they fall down. They are diminished by the dust of the feet of great personalities." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Everything depends on the strength of the recipient. For example, due to the scorching sunshine, many vegetables and flowers dry up, and many grow luxuriantly. Thus, it is the recipient that causes growth and dwindling. Similarly, Mahiyashan Padarajo Vishekam. The dust of the lotus feet of great personalities offers all good to the recipient, but the same dust can also do harm. Those who are offenders at the lotus feet of a great personality dry up. Their godly qualities diminish. A great soul may forgive offenses, but Krishna does not excuse offenses to the dust of that great soul's feet. Just as one can tolerate the scorching sunshine on one's head, but cannot tolerate the scorching sunshine on one's feet. An offender glides down more and more. Therefore, he naturally continues to commit offenses at the feet of the great soul. So, one has to be careful, especially when one comes close to a great soul, rendering personal service to a great soul. As Ishwara Puri did to Madhavendra Puri, can bestow the greatest benefit. But if one is not pure enough to associate closely with a great soul, in such intimate association one may commit offenses. Not just the accidental type of offenses, but one may develop an offensive mentality towards the great soul and commit serious offenses that will cause one to go away. Now, in Sati's statement to Lord Shiva, we find, again, a very surprising statement that it's good that such envious persons commit offenses because that way they fall down. So how can pure devotees who are the well-wishers of all living entities say it's good for someone to commit offenses and fall down? Srila Prabhupada explains that in general, the spiritual master will never reject a disciple. But if the disciple is fallen, he will cause pain to the spiritual master. But still, the spiritual master will not reject the disciple. So Srila Prabhupada says, therefore, Krishna, out of compassion for the spiritual master, out of mercy for the spiritual master, will cause the disciple to go away, so that he does not cause more pain to the spiritual master, even though the spiritual master himself does not reject the disciple. But even Krishna, of course, he's the father of every living entity. He's also the well-wisher of all living entities. He wants the ultimate benefit of everyone. But if one is too close to the devotee or too close to the deity, and out of familiarity develops a misconception about the Lord or the devotee, and develops an offensive mentality, then it's better that the person is removed from the situation, and being at a distance can gradually come to his senses and gradually redeem himself. Now we come to Madhavendra Puri's feelings of separation. Text 33. Jagat Guru Madhavendra Kari Premadana E Shloka Paditeno Kaila Antardana. His divine grace, Madhavendra Puri, the spiritual master of the entire world, thus distributed ecstatic love for Krishna. While passing away from the material world, he chanted the following verse. Text 34. Aidina Dayadranatha Te Mathuranatha Kadava Lokshaye Hridayam Twat Aloka Kataram Daita Brahmyati Kim Karomyaham. O my Lord, O merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? In this verse, text 35, in this verse, Madhavendra Puri instructs how to achieve ecstatic love for Krishna. By feeling separation from Krishna, one becomes spiritually situated. Madhavendra Puri sowed the seed of ecstatic love for Krishna within this material world and then departed. That seed later became a great tree in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have incidentally described the passing away of Madhavendra Puri. Anyone who hears this must be considered very fortunate. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and other associates of the Lord were traveling from Bengal to Orissa to Jagannath Puri, they visited a town called Remuna, where there is a deity called Gopinath. Earlier, when Madhavendra Puri was staying at Govardhan, he had a dream in which the deity Gopal appeared to him and told him that he was buried in the bushes at Govardhan, and that Madhavendra Puri should come and find him. So Madhavendra Puri followed the instructions of Gopal in the dream. He told all the villagers about the dream, and they all came and helped him cut through the thickets and discover the deity, take him out of the ground. And under the instructions of the deity, Madhavendra Puri installed him on the top of Govardhan Hill and celebrated the installation with a great ceremony and prasad distribution called Anakut, just like the distribution of prasad that takes place on Govardhan Puja. Then Gopal appeared to Madhavendra Puri again in another dream and told him that he was feeling very hot and that Madhavendra Puri should go to Jagannath Puri and bring sandalwood and camphor to rub on his body to give him relief from the heat. So Madhavendra Puri took the instruction to heart and immediately left for Jagannath Puri, even though to travel to Jagannath Puri then meant to walk by foot. So on the way to Puri, Madhavendra Puri stopped at Rinmuna. And Madhavendra Puri was so renounced, he would never ask for food. He would never beg food. If food came on its own, he would accept a little. And if it didn't come, he would fast. He depended completely on the mercy of the Lord. And he, as a principle, he made no effort to get food. So Madhavendra Puri, when he reached Rinmuna, he came to see the deity of Gopinath. And then at night he went into the town to rest under a tree. That night, the pujari at the Gopinath temple had a dream. And Gopinath told the pujari that he had hidden a pot of sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri behind the curtains, and that the pujari should find the great saint Madhavendra Puri and give him the pot of sweet rice. So the pujari immediately awoke and bathed, went into the deity room, and found the pot of sweet rice. But he didn't know who Madhavendra Puri was or where he was. So he went into the town calling out, "Will the devotee Madhavendra Puri come forward? The deity Gopinath has stolen a pot of sweet rice for you." Eventually he found Madhavendra Puri and delivered the sweet rice to him. And Madhavendra Puri decided to immediately leave Rinmuna because everyone knew that, you know, the deity had stolen this or kept aside the sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was such a great devotee. And he was, you know, so humble and so attached to his mother's service to Krishna that he didn't want any praise or popularity or attention. So he decided, I should leave immediately for Puri. But when he got to Puri, people understood that he was a great devotee because whenever he would come before the deity, he would exhibit symptoms of ecstatic love of Godhead. And also the news of his devotion followed him. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj comments that the reputation of the devotee is so sublime that it follows him wherever he goes. So Madhavendra Puri had come on a mission to get sandalwood and camphor, which were not easily available, but they were available in Jagannath Puri because they were used in the service of Lord Jagannath. But they were very costly, and not only that, they were controlled items. Unless you had a government permit, you could not obtain them or transport them. But Madhavendra Puri told the local devotees about his dream, and the local devotees assisted him. They met people, got the permits, got a huge quantity of sandalwood and camphor, and then they began to transport them by foot back to Vrindavan, back to Govardhan. On the way, Madhavendra Puri stopped again at Rimuna, and immediately the pujari brought him sweet rice. And there, in Rimuna, Madhavendra Puri had another dream. And in this dream, the deity Gopal told him that there is no difference between me and the deity of Gopinath. So if you smear the sandalwood pulp and camphor on the body of Gopinath, my body will become cooled. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that the deity of Gopal did not want Madhavendra Puri to have to suffer more by having to carry such huge amounts of sandalwood and camphor by foot in the hot sun, and have to deal with all the Mohammedan officers on the way who would demand tolls and taxes and create trouble for travelers. So Madhavendra Puri, you could say, passed the test. He had no interest other than to serve the Lord and please the Lord, without any personal consideration. And the Lord reciprocated. He was satisfied. Madhavendra Puri had come as far as Rimuna, and that was enough. Now he could render the service to Gopinath, and the service would be accepted by Gopal. So when Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu were traveling from Bengal to Orissa, they came to Rimuna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu narrated the pastimes of Madhavendra Puri. Extolled the glories of Madhavendra Puri. And he asked Nityananda Prabhu, is there anyone in this world as fortunate as Madhavendra Puri? So, in the course of Lord Chaitanya's discussion of Madhavendra Puri at Rimuna, he quoted this verse, and I will read what Chaitanya Charitamrita says about the verse, because as we will hear, this verse emanated directly from the mouth of Srimati Radharani, and only three people understood the deep meaning of the verse. And the three people were Srimati Radharani, Madhavendra Puri, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we will read what Chaitanya Charitamrita says about this verse. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 4, Sri Madhavendra Puri's devotional service. And this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking. Pragada premera e svabhava achara nija dukkha vignadira nakare vichara. This is the natural result of intense love of Godhead. The devotee does not consider personal inconveniences or impediments. In all circumstances, he wants to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Gopal wanted to show how intensely Madhavendra Puri loved Krishna. Therefore, he asked him to go to Neelachal to fetch sandalwood and camphor. With great trouble and after much labor, Madhavendra Puri brought the load of sandalwood to Ramuna. However, he was still very pleased. He discounted all the difficulties. One might think, well, he did it because the deity asked for it, but it was such a labor, and I must have really been exhausted and frustrated. But no, he was still happy. He was in a happy mood. And that is the nature of pure devotional service, that the servant is happy. The same was said of Govardhan Hill, that he was the best servant of Lord Hari, Haridasa Varya. And he was such a great servant that he offered his body to the service of the Lord and the devotees. They would step on him. He offered his grasses for the cows to eat. He offered his stones as sitting places. He offered his caves. He offered his water. He offered his body for the service of the Lord. And Pramodita, he was jubilant, being touched by the lotus feet of the Lord and the devotees. So that when the servant offers service in a mood of happiness, of jubilation, of pleasure, that gives more pleasure to the Lord. Obviously, if someone's happy to serve you, that makes you happy. If they serve you out of duty, sort of begrudgingly or just out of duty, it's not as pleasing as if they're happy when they do it. So Madhavendra Puri, in spite of taking so much trouble and going by foot, passing all the toll points and dealing with the Muslim officers and the heat and all the other impediments, by the time he reached the moon, he was still in a very pleased mood. Text 189. Pariksha karite gopala kaila agyadana pariksha kariya sheshe haila devayana. To test the intense love of Madhavendra Puri, Gopal, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ordered him to bring sandalwood from Neelachal. And when Madhavendra Puri passed this examination, the Lord became very merciful to him. Such behavior exhibited in loving service between the devotee and the devotee's lovable object, Sri Krishna, is transcendental. It is not possible for a common man to understand. Common men do not even have the capacity. After saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the famous verse of Madhavendra Puri. That verse is just like the moon. It has spread illumination all over the world. By continuous rubbing, the aroma of Malaya sandalwood increases. Similarly, by considering this verse, its importance increases. As the Kaustubha money is considered the most precious of valuable stones, this verse is similarly considered the best of mellow poems, rasa kavya. Actually, this verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani herself, and by her mercy only was it manifest in the words of Madhavendra Puri. Only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has tasted the poetry of this verse. No fourth man is capable of understanding it. Purport. This indicates that only Srimati Radharani, Madhavendra Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are capable of understanding the purport of this verse. Text 196. Sheshakale e shloka patite patite siddha prapti haila purira shlokera sahite. Madhavendra Puri recited this verse again and again at the end of his material existence. Thus uttering this verse, he attained the ultimate goal of life. Text 197. Ai dina dayadrana sahe maturanatha kada palo kayas sahe hudayam twad aloka kataram daitya brahmyati kim karo yaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O beloved one, what shall I do now? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Sri Krishna left Vrindavan and accepted the kingdom of Mathura, Srimati Radharani, out of ecstatic feelings of separation, expressed how Krishna can be loved in separation. Thus, devotional service and separation is central to this verse. Worship in separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord. Thus he addresses the Lord as Dina Dayadra Natha, as did Madhavendra Puri. Such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service. Because Krishna had gone to Mathura, Srimati Radharani was very much afflicted, and she expressed herself thus: My dear Lord, because of your separation, my mind has become overly agitated. Have compassion upon me, and let me know when I shall see you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always expressing the ecstatic emotions of Srimati Radharani that she exhibited when she saw Uddhava at Vrindavan. Similar feelings experienced by Madhavendra Puri are expressed in this verse. Therefore, Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya say that the ecstatic feelings experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his appearance came from Srimadavendra Puri through Ishwara Puri. All the devotees in the line of the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya accept these principles of devotional service. So, this is a very deep topic, feeling separation for Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. We are certainly unqualified to discuss it, but we will say something to glorify Sri Madhavendra Puri on his disappearance day, following our acharyas. When Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura, all of the residents of Vrindavan were plunged in deep separation. But the separation of the gopis was the most intense, because their attachment to Krishna was the most intense. None of the residents of Vrindavan had any other interest in life other than Krishna and the service of Krishna. But still, comparatively, the gopis' love for Krishna was the most intense. And among the gopis, Srimati Radharani's love was the greatest. And that love and separation is considered the highest. In fact, that is the real reason why Krishna left Vrindavan. To allow the devotees there to experience the highest ecstasy of love and separation. And in that love and separation, they actually experience Krishna's association. They actually meet Krishna in their separation. Although this externally they continue to express separation, even though internally they're experiencing Krishna's association. And this mood, as it said, that seed was passed from Madhavendra Puri to his disciple Ishwara Puri, who had served him so perfectly at the end. And from Ishwara Puri to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, that seed became a great tree in the person of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, even fallen souls like us in Kali Yuga are given access to this understanding and this process. It is inconceivable how people so fallen as we in Kali Yuga can be given access to this highly confidential and exalted process. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example of a king who becomes intoxicated. And he goes into his treasury and takes out the most valuable jewels, goes out on the street and starts to give away the jewels to the beggars on the street. They have no qualification, but the king in his intoxicated state is free to distribute the jewels to whomever he wishes. And he distributes them without consideration. So the same way Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was intoxicated with ecstatic love of God, and therefore he's making these most precious gems available even to the poorest paupers. That is dadati that he is giving, and it is our prerogative to accept pratigrinati. Now, this confidential verse can be misunderstood, not just in the gross way that Ramachandra Puri misunderstood it, that he was lamenting, anchoring and lamenting, and he should be fixed in Brahman. But it could appear that he wants to see Krishna, or she wants to see Krishna out of some selfish desire. But that is not the case. The fact is that Srimati Radharani and the gopis know that Krishna cannot really be happy without them. He cannot enjoy the same happiness with anyone else as he enjoys with the gopis in Vrindavan. And therefore, they want to see him again, not for their personal happiness, but so that they can please Krishna as only they can. And therefore, their love is completely pure, spotlessly pure. And that was exhibited by Madhavendra Puri in his service of going to Jagannath Puri to get the sandalwood and camphor without any personal consideration of gain and loss, pleasure and pain. So when the gopis say they want to be with Krishna, it's not for their personal happiness, but it's to give Krishna happiness. And Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains that although the gopis' feelings appear to be lust, they're not lust. They're actually pure love. And lust, kama, is defined as the desire for one's own happiness or one's own sense gratification. And pure love is to the desire for Krishna's happiness, for Krishna's sense gratification. And although superficially the two may resemble each other, but intrinsically there's a great difference between the two, just like iron and gold. Iron and gold are both metals. They have that much in common. But there's a vast difference in the value of gold and the value of iron. So sometimes the gopis will pray, please appear before us and satisfy our lusty desires. But that is their indirect way of speaking. Actually, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains why the gopis speak in that way, as if they are lusty for Krishna. And there are two reasons he gives. One reason is that this is the science of rasa. One is that if one expresses one's love openly, it decreases the love. And he gives the example that if you have a lamp, so a deepa, oil lamp, and you keep it within the house, it will burn bright and strong. But if you put the lamp outside of the house, it may waver in the wind, and it may actually go out. So these confidential loving feelings, when they're kept within the heart, they increase. And that's the special feature of Parakya Ras, that it's all kept secret, and that makes it increase. The other reason is that in pure love, one does not want the beloved to take any trouble, especially for oneself. And Vishnu Chakravarti gives the example that if you visit someone and you're hungry, you want to eat. But if your friend asks you, do you want some prasadam, you'll say, no, I'm all right. Because out of love, you don't want your friend to have to take trouble. So, the friend, knowing that you're hungry and want to eat, he won't ask you if you want some prasadam, because he knows that you won't want him to take trouble for him. So he'll say, actually, I'm just about due to cook an offering for my deities, so please wait. And then he'll cook the offering for the deities and give him the prasad. So in the same way, if the gopis expressed openly in a direct way that, Krishna, we know that you're feeling lonely without us, so we'll come and be with you, Krishna would say, no, don't take trouble for me, I'm okay. So instead of presenting it that Krishna wants them, they present it that they want Krishna. That please come back to Vrindavan, we're burning in the fire of separation, come back to Vrindavan. As if they want Krishna to satisfy their desire. But their real purpose is to serve Krishna and please him. So these are the sort of intricate dealings of love on the platform of pure devotional service. And by the mercy of Madhavendra Puri, first of all, and the disciplic succession from him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, the Goswamis, and then Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. These very confidential moods have been explained to us, so that we can come to appreciate them and hanker for them. It's a very special gift. And some devotees have commented that, you know, why did Srila Prabhupada take so much trouble to preach? Love of God is there in every scripture, every bona fide scripture, every bona fide process of religion can lead to love of God. There are examples of devotees who have developed love of God in different traditions. So why all this effort? Why all this sacrifice? And the real reason is to give this love of Krishna in Vrindavan, especially in this mood of separation. This is not available anywhere else, and this is, although on the absolute platform, every type of love of God is the same, even the love of the servants of Lord Narayana and Vaikuntha. But comparatively, this is the happiness experience in this type of love, of pure devotion, kevala bhakti in Vrindavan, is beyond compare. And therefore Srila Prabhupada, although it's very confidential, but therefore Srila Prabhupada exerted this superhuman effort to induce the fallen souls to take to Krishna consciousness so that ultimately they could receive this most valuable, priceless, precious treasure. And this is all coming to us through disciplic succession by the grace of Srimad Pandripuri, his disappearance days today. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Thank you.